Orangs and Owl Farm. On September 13th, Kingston's own Oak Ridge Avenue hits the stage with Ottawa Rockers, The New Hires. On September 14th, pop punk and emo cover band Strike Tyson will play alongside local acts Sonic Souvenir and Squid Pistol. September 15th, folk singer Katie Tupper will play a matinee with Kingston's own Luella opening the show. On September 16th, punk heavyweights Authority Zero and Belvedere with special guests Melon Ball are performing. On September 18th, the legendary Martha Wainwright plays live in Kingston. On September 20th, local rockers Cassador return to the Broom Factory with Sparrow Blue. On September 21st, Nova Scotia's Mo Kenny will play a show. And on September 28th, don't miss Virginia to Vegas with special guest Alex Porat. For more information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, your campus community radio station, broadcasting to you since 1922.
It is 5 p.m. here in the city of Kingston, and this is Today in YGK for Monday, September 9th, 2024. This is Jesse Bell filling in for Christina Laurie. Our first story comes courtesy of Christina Laurie about the upcoming Open Farm Days event.
Open Farm Days has returned for its second full season after going from a weekend celebration to a full lineup of events lasting from mid-August to the end of September. Open Farm Days offers Kingstonians an opportunity to learn about local agriculture, from tours of local farms to culinary workshops. This summer, the lineup also has an exciting new addition called Gather, bringing together a wide array of local farmers, food producers, and chefs for a farm-to-table experience. Gather was spearheaded by the owner of Bloom Farm, Tara Williamson, and chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen, Elisa Corrigan. On September 14th, they will be hosting a day filled with delicious food, local vendors, and a celebration of community. Visitors will tour 8 different stations offering food and drink pairings with ingredients from different local farms. CFRC sat down with Debbie Miller, an organizer with Open Farm Days, to talk about this year's offerings and get a sneak preview of Gather before sitting down with the event's hosts. This is your only second year doing the longer version of the festival as opposed to just that one weekend. How is the process of filling out the schedule this year?
It's going really well. There's been a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest around Open Farm Days. As we've expanded the time frame to allow for more local farms, businesses, and community organizations to be involved, because as we all know, harvest for everything doesn't happen at the same time. So expanding the time frame has really allowed for more participation and opportunities to be involved.
Awesome. Yeah. And what kind of feedback did you get from last year's longer event, and how has it changed your approach to this year?
Yeah, so we did receive positive feedback about the longer time frame because it allowed other locations to be involved, as I indicated. But it really has expanded the opportunities, also the awareness too for the connections within farming and food in our region it's just an increased awareness across the region, an opportunity for others to make connections and really get to know where your food comes from and who's preparing your food or producing food for you as well is a really important part around the small-scale agriculture for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And did you have a lot of new participants this year, or was it a similar number of participants to last year?
There's a similar number. There's a few new locations that are participating and others that, you know, just for different reasons were not able to participate this year. So I would say a fairly similar number. We did focus a lot this year on the farmers markets and really making good connections at the farmers markets, and they're hosting events there as well, so educational events. So again, bringing people to where people already are, bringing events and awareness to those locations. Like at the farmers markets, there's tomato tastings or bloom bars or different events like that that are taking place at the 5 farmers markets across our region.
Yeah, so was that a big focus this year, was getting connected with those farmers markets and making sure that Open Farms had a voice there?
Yes, absolutely. And they have been involved in the past, but it was really, how do they also connect? Because as we know, people go to farmers markets for their weekly grocery shopping products and things like that, picking up their local vegetables and fruit, their baked goods, etc., and just really trying to make sure people were aware across our region that there are five amazing farmers markets in our region. So if you aren't able to make a Saturday one, you can make a Sunday one, or you can go Friday night or a different day during the week. So there's lots of opportunities with different times and different locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And things have already kicked off. What have you heard so far from the community, and how have you been feeling about this year so far?
Thank you for that. And yes, we had the launch event on Friday, August 16th. There was a great turnout there. Lots of community members were out. We had local politicians were out to support the event and support small-scale agriculture in our community. They all helped with the ribbon cutting, which was a corn stalk, which was a pretty fun ribbon cutting. So good, positive feedback as we start the event, and lots of interest as people are visiting the website to explore what's happening and what's taking place in the next 6 weeks across our region.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. And just to give us a bit of a preview, this new event, Gather, how did they come into the picture and what's it all about?
So Gather is an event that's being hosted at a farm in Frontenac County with a chef doing the preparation of the food, and they're having different booths around the farm where they can, sample different offerings from different farms as well. So a new event that's taking place. But again, Tara is well-versed in open farm days. She's been involved from the Frontenac Farmers Market perspective, and she is also a farmer. So it's great to have them involved. There's lots of other events taking place as well. Culinary events. There's the Donald Gordon Conference Center has a culinary event this weekend on August 24th, and there's the food tours. There's other events taking place, so be sure to check out openfarmdays.ca to see the full list of events taking place.
Once again, that was Debbie Miller sitting down with CFRC to get into this year's Open Farm Days experiences. Next up, we sat down with Gather organizers Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan to get deeper into this year's new event taking place at Bloom Farm. Well, to start us off, would you like to just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. So I am Tara Williamson. I am owner-operator of Bloom Farm in Harrow Smith.
And my name is Elisa Corrigan, and I am chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen. And we're opening a cooking studio just south of Sydenham.
Awesome. Yeah. And this is the first time the Gather event is in this Open Farms lineup. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to how this partnership happened between Rampant Kitchen and Bloom Farms, and what people can expect from the event this year.
So I have been a patron of Open Farm Days for a number of years. I think it's a fantastic event, and have sort of always had in the back of my mind that we would do some sort of event at Bloom Farms, but wasn't quite sure what that event would be until one day I tasted Elisa's food, and we didn't really know each other. I knew of her, but I didn't know her. But as soon as I had her food, I said, I need to meet this woman. I need to do an event with her. And Gather was born out of that.
I believe the lore is it was a raspberry Danish.
It was.
Yeah, I've been looking for an excuse to squeak into Open Farms. I moved to the area just over 2 years ago, and every year I've been a visitor of Open Farms and really loved it and loved like the philosophy of it. Like food and sustainable food systems are really important to me. So when Tara messaged me over a Danish, I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And since you guys experienced this firsthand, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the importance of the connections that are fostered between local farms and local kitchens by these events like Open Farms.
Sure. So I'm also actually the manager of the Frontenac Farmers Market. So I'm very entwined in both farmers and food in the area. And I think education of where our food comes from and the people growing it is so important. And having people like Elisa and Rampant Kitchen in the area to show what you can do with the local ingredients available to us is incredible. And we're so lucky to have so many farmers in the area and food producers.
Yeah. So sustainable food systems has always been really important to me as a chef. I'm from a rural farming community in Southern Ontario. And then when I worked in Toronto for the past 2 decades, it was always part of my ethos when I was building menus to focus on Ontario food. I'm all about like global taste and local flavors. So when I met Tara and she had all these wonderful connections with farmers already, it was like this beautiful open door to like really show off what we can produce in Frontenac. And it's just really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know the event is a little while away, but do you have an idea of what you'll be showing folks how to make come September 14th?
Yeah, we have the menu pretty solidified. I'm just working out some kinks, but we're going to be doing some really cool stuff like the Rise Farm is participating and they have great small fowl and they also raise rabbits. So we're going to be doing like a smoked jerk chicken, like jerk rabbit with like a nectarine salsa on the side. We're also working with Collective Joy and they're this amazing microgreen interior farm down in Kingston. And we're using two of their products. We're going to be using microgreens on one of our dishes. We're doing like a lion's mane taco with Mark's mushrooms, but then we're also going to be using their beautiful florals and we're going to imprint them into some butter shortbread so everybody gets like a sweet floral treat at the end.
We also have some incredible food producers too. We have chocolate, we have pickles, we have breads, so you'll be able to sample lots of different food producers in the area. And an event like this would not be complete without some beer and wine tastings too. So we have a local brewery and winery on site. And with your ticket purchase, you get to sample their products as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So is Gather a newer event on a bigger level? Because I know Open Farms, like folks will go visit a farm and figure out what they do there. But it sounds like a lot of people are getting involved in this one.
Yeah, it was really important for us to bring together a lot of farmers for this event. So basically one-stop shopping. You can come to Gather and meet a wide array of farmers and food producers in the area. And each farmer and food producer will be on site the day of to talk about their farms, talk about their products, answer any questions. So it's a great event, whether you're just coming to eat and drink and enjoy and network, or if you're thinking about starting your own little farm or just want to know more about what's available in the area.
Really about food community.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely being very true to the name Gather. That's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, both of you have watched the festival grow over the years and participated in different ways. And I was wondering if you could just get into how it's been to watch the festival go from the weekend to virtual during COVID to back to the weekend to now being this whole month and a half event. And so many people are involved that you can host an event like Gather.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the team at Frontenac County and the specifically the Open Farm Days team have done a great job at making Open Farm Days really accessible to everybody, all different price points. Some events are free, some are not. You can come to an event like ours and hit a bunch of different farmers at once, go to farmers market. So it really is, you can get whatever you want at Open Farm Days, which is incredible. So hats off to the team there.
Yeah, they're really putting in a lot of grassroots effort to like spread the word and make it a big thing, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And it's coming up really fast. So how are you guys feeling with the big day approaching so quickly?
I'm definitely excited. I'm also a little nervous, but I think a little nerves is good. Yeah, I think it'll be really great. And I think it's great in my mind. And I don't want to speak for Tara, but I think once we have it in action, it'll be like this beautiful sigh of relief to see everything come to fruition.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm excited.
That was Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan, organizers of the new Gather event for Open Farm Days this year. Gather will be taking place on September 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News on this year's Open Farm Days event continuing through to the end of September. More details are available at openfarms.ca.
Thank you, Chris. Coming up next is CFRC's Sports Report. This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, September 9th, 2024. The Queens Gaels tallied the 499th win in program history on Saturday with a decisive 52-19 victory over the York University Lions. The Gaels drew first blood with a 13-yard completion from Alex Vreakin to Nathan Falcone to take an early 7-0 lead. The Gaels would score again, but 4 minutes later as Silas Hubert recovered a fumble and took it back for 6 points. And at the end of the first quarter, Ian St. Arnaud with one of the rarest plays in college football, a 119-yard missed field goal return to put the Gaels up 21-0 early. Windsor would get on the board with a rouge and two safeties, making it 21-5. And right before halftime, Windsor would make it a 21-12 deficit following an Alfred Olay 36-yard touchdown. Tyler Mullen would put a field goal up at the last minute to give the Gaels a 24-12 lead heading into the second half. And the second half was all Gaels as Jared Kasari put them up 31-12 with a 3-yard touchdown run. Nathan Falcone got his second touchdown of the game from Alex Vreakin, a 15-yard pass late in the third quarter. And right at the end of the third quarter, Ian St. Arnaud, lightning struck twice as he returned his second 119-yard missed field goal return of the game to put the Gaels up 45-12. York would score late, but Queens actually got the last points of the ball game as first-year running back Jaden Gersey McDonald, on his first career carry, took it 52 yards to the end zone to give Queens the decisive 52-19 scoreline. The Gaels are in action looking for win 500 this upcoming Saturday, September 14th. They will be on the road in Ottawa to play the Gigi's, and CFRC will be there live. For more information on that game, please check out the following promo. Over the last three seasons, the Queens Gaels have had the Ottawa Gigi's number. These teams have played seven times since 2021, and Queens has walked away victorious on all seven occasions. For each of the last 3 years, Ottawa's season has ended at Richardson Memorial Stadium. But with every game played, the margin of victory gets tighter and tighter. In 2023, the Gaels won their two matchups by 7 total points. On Saturday, September 14th, the two Titans of the OUA East rekindle their rivalry once more as the Gaels make the short trip up the 416 to play the Gigi's in Ottawa. Will the Gaels make it an elite 8 in a row, or will the Gigi's finally snap their post-pandemic losing streak? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 2:45 for the pregame show ahead of the 3 p.m. kickoff. We hope to see you then. And now over to Dinah Jansen for the community concert and events calendar and the traffic report for the Kingston region.
And that wraps it up for concerts. Now over to community events for this week. On September 9th, join the Kingston Writers Fest Reading Challenge by reading books on the KWF reading list and be entered into contests to get tickets to see authors in person at the upcoming festival. Learn more on the KWF website. Also on September 9th, Dr. Stephen Maynard of the History Department will give a talk at the Banbury Center on the People's History at Queens as part of Oprah Kingston's Alt Frosh event series starting at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m. on the 9th, you can enjoy free summer swing dancing at the Newlands Pavilion gazebo by Murney Tower. The Brass and One Eyed Jacks will also host their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, September 10th, Urban Sketchers will do another meetup to do sketching at Churchill Park from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Kingston Frontenac Public Library Wright Crescent will host an Improving Your Digital Presence session facilitated by Kedco from noon to 1 p.m. On Tuesday, September 3rd, you can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. The run is for all ages and abilities. On Wednesday, September 11th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Tuesday, the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library will host Cafe Franglish, where folks can enjoy a free opportunity to practice conversation in English and French over a cup of coffee. On Wednesday night, AKA Autonomous Social Center will host Taqwa Core, the Birth of Punk Islam film screening for free from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. and One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free starting at 7. On Thursday, September 12th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, September 13th, the YMCA will host its fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. And on the 13th, Skeleton Park Arts Festival will host a mystery movie screening at McBurney Park, a free family-friendly event starting at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. at the Mansion, you can also enjoy the Cringe Night drag show hosted by Bewitched and featuring the talents of Simone Says, Josephine J, Morgan Morbid, Universe, and Annihilation. Tickets are $10 online and $15 at the door. On Saturday, September 14th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Daughters General Store will host a vegan brunch takeover featuring Toronto's Sausage Party and Ottawa's Little Joe Berries from 11 to 1:30. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, the Tet Center will host a beginner's workshop on Madhubani Indian folk art. The admission is $25. Also on Saturday, St. Luke's Church will host a Scottish Country Dance in Cayley, a free event starting at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event in the Kingston area that you would like us to cover on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And that wraps it up for concerts. Now over to community events for this week. On September 9th, join the Kingston Writers Fest Reading Challenge by reading books on the KWF reading list and be entered into contests to get tickets to see authors in person at the upcoming festival. Learn more on the KWF website. Also on September 9th, Dr. Stephen Maynard of the History Department will give a talk at the Banbury Center on the People's History at Queen's as part of Oprah Kingston's All Crosh event series starting at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m. on the 9th, you can enjoy free summer swing dancing at the Newlands Pavilion Gazebo by Murney Tower. The Brass and One Eye Jacks will also host their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, September 10th, Urban Sketchers will do another meetup to do sketching at Churchill Park from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Kingston Frontenac Public Library Wright Crescent will host an Improving Your Digital Presence session facilitated by KEDCO from noon to 1 p.m. On Tuesday, September 3rd, you can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. The run is for all ages and abilities. On Wednesday, September 11th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Tuesday, the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library will host Cafe Franglish, where folks can enjoy a free opportunity to practice conversation in English and French over a cup of coffee. On Wednesday night, AKA Autonomous Social Center will host Taqwa Core, the Birth of Punk Islam film screening for free from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. and One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free starting at 7. On Thursday, September 12th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, September 13th, the YMCA will host its fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. And on the 13th, Skellig Park Arts Festival will host a mystery movie screening at McBurney Park, a free family-friendly event starting at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. at the Mansion, you can also enjoy the Cringe Night drag show hosted by Bewitched and featuring the talents of Simone Says, Josephine J, Morgan Morbid, Universe, and Annihilation. Tickets are $10 online and $15 at the door. On Saturday, September 14th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Daughters General Store will host a vegan brunch takeover featuring Toronto's Sausage Party and Ottawa's Little Joe Berries from 11 to 1:30. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, the Tet Center will host a beginner's workshop on Madhubani Indian folk art. The admission is $25. Also on Saturday, St. Luke's Church will host a Scottish Country Dance and Ceilidh, a free event starting at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning log run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event in the Kingston area that you would like us to cover on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And now it's time for the CFRC Weekly Traffic Report. Motorists are advised that pavement rehabilitations will continue to take place along Highway 401 overnight between Westbrook Road to beyond Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. MacDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Public Services and Procurement Canada continues to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. For local road closures, Albert Street from Princess to 486 Albert will be closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging. Edwin Street from Collins Bay to Waverly will be closed until September 18th for the removal and reinstatement of asphalt. Hillcrest Avenue from Kings Court to 7th is closed until August 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue from Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street from Place d'Armes to the north end of King is closed until September 30th for construction of new storm and road beds, and the road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street from Princess to Queen is closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street from Victoria to Albert is currently closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue from Union to Earl is closed for construction related to activity at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center. And Wellington Street from Earl to Gore is closed until September 10th for new water service installation. For other delays, Aberdeen Street from Johnson to Earl, folks can expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive from Princess to Taylor Kidd can expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive Active Transportation Upgrades Project. Collins Bay Road from Prince Charles and Edwin to Princess, folks can expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay Active Transportation Improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. And Highway 2 from Abbeydon to St. Lawrence expect delays there to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. And continued notice of a parking disruption at the Hanson Memorial parking structure where its restoration project is now currently underway. Motorists are advised that there is parking availability at the Chan Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west of the Hanson Memorial parking structure.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Starting off with Monday, September 9th, it was chilly and cloudy during the day with a chance of rain and thunder showers into the evening and afternoon, 60% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 7 degrees overnight. Tuesday, September 10th, we're going to see a daytime high of 21 degrees and it will be sunny, dropping down to 11 overnight. We start to get to the warmer temperatures around midweek as Wednesday, September 11th will be a beautiful sunny day, a high of 25, dropping down to 14 overnight. Thursday, September 12th, sunny with a high of 26, dropping down to 14 overnight. Friday, September 13th, it will be 26 with a mix of sun and cloud. And moving into the weekend, Saturday, September 14th, a high of 26, and Sunday, September 15th, a high of 25 with a 30% chance of precipitation.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.
Keep up with what's hot on CFRC airwaves. Find us today on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us at CFRC Music and keep your finger on the pulse of Kingston's best music mix.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. This is edition 231. On the program today, I'm going to be featuring a conversation that I had with Mexico City-based artist and activist Sorucha. Sorucha has been involved in many important initiatives that really visit the direct intersections of art and activism, and particularly around the feminist movement. Sorucha speaks about a project she's been involved in called Disidenta, that is an educational collective project that engages with art and the feminist movement in Mexico. Very important. I will just leave our conversation to play as it is now on this edition of Free City Radio. Here's my conversation with Sorucha, recorded in Mexico City. We're here in Mexico City, and I'm sitting with Sorucha, who is a movement artist, been involved in movements for gender justice, against gender-based violence, feminist movements. And, you know, we hear more about the details of that. And over recent years, Sorucha has been working with a project called Disidenta. Very exciting. And we'll also learn a bit more about that. But maybe you could first just introduce yourself and share briefly about your practice, which is really at the intersections of art and activism at this time in Mexico, when feminist movements and movements against gender-based violence are very important. They've always been important, but in recent years, there's been a very meaningful mobilization.
Well, thank you for making this happen, and for the connection, for getting together. As you said it, I'm an artist, activist. Most of my work is geared towards eradicating gender violence. And, well, with all its intersectionalities, right? In the past years, I've been working in a project called Disidenta, community of social practice and feminist knowledge, along with Lorena Wolfer and Maria Laura Rosa. So the three of us are the guides of Disidenta, and we create social practice projects around dissident movements and feminisms in Mexico, and Maria Laura Rosa is based in Argentina. So for the past years, since the pandemic, we created this project that was geared towards bringing together our personal practices as artists and activists. So it had a component of an educational program of art activism and knowledge directed towards people to be involved deeply into their context and to be able to change culture through culture. Excellent. That's basically what we do in Disidenta. So we created a series of projects, starting with this program, and then it evolved into a bigger...
Sirens, no.
Okay, fair enough.
Mexico City.
Fair enough. Yeah. So we decided to create a project that was called Deseidades, which was a mix of... the word in itself is a mix of two words, desires and needs. Deseos and necesidades, so it's Deseidades.
Wow.
And it's a term coined by Amaya Perez, which is a Spanish writer and activist. And it's so we can express what we need as social movements, but also what we desire on a bigger scale, and not just stay with the bare minimum kind of thing, no?
On this, I want to get into the details, but in the broader context of the feminist movement here, there was so much very specific mobilizations, you know, about certain politicians or like certain like power structures that enabled gender-based violence. But there was also these aspects to the mobilization that were so much broader, about dreaming about a different society, about demands not being fit necessarily into the political parameters of power as it exists, because it's so patriarchal. So I'd love to hear a bit about like how that idea of the like the sort of the larger desires that you've been working on is related also to this, the ways that the movement has been also based on dreams, it seems, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think that it has been based on a lot of dreams, but I would say it has been more reactive than anything. So most of the projects that I've seen or the collectives are a reaction to the immediate context. And that has taken a toll on the health, mental and physical and emotional health of all the activists, right? Because it's always this urgency to respond to. And exactly, we were at a point in Disidenta where we could actually slow down and take that time to think things through and be like, okay, we need to A, start talking to each other within different feminisms, and B, have that time. Mm. No, because we're making so many mistakes and we're having so many miscommunications with each other, that there is no way that we can advance this further if we don't stop. But stopping in a place that has 12 femicides a day is very difficult, right? And that's just that one of the aspects of so many violences that are taking place in Mexico. So exactly, the part of also dreaming different places, or dreaming and asking not for the bare minimum but for the whole cake kind of thing, mm-hmm. is also one of the things that we like to do in Disidenta, no? To be like, okay, how do we change the place and the context that we live in? I personally believe is that it's changed by changing the relation that we have between people and to the earth and to territory. It's changing those relationships. And how do you do that? With a lot of time, with habits, changing the practice. But first of all, creating a space for you to experience that different kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's what we try to do, create spaces for dialogue, or whether it's an impact, meaning like an image impact on social media or the streets, or, you know, slowly changing the culture we live in through cultural interventions.
And so, like, getting into this very tangible example, because you've done this incredible thing to translate these very intangible sort of, you know, like, ideas or ideals about art and activism into real projects, that's super complicated. So maybe you could talk about this project and this initiative. We're sitting here, and there's one of the examples of your work in front of us. So maybe we could just start a bit about the context, and then we can get into this beautiful, beautiful physical art piece.
Part of the context was this series of events called Deseidades, where we gathered around 36 women from different walks of life, but all geared towards feminist and or anti-patriarchal fighters, right, in Mexico. More than anything in Mexico City, because that is our territory of action, but we did try to outreach to different parts of the country. And we physically gathered for 5 days in not all together, not all the 36, but in sets of smaller groups to think about our deseidades, to think about, to put out there what is needed from the perspective of the activists that are fighting very particular issues regarding their communities. So from those days, we made a journal, we made videos and everything.
Oh, but during the gatherings?
During the gatherings, yeah. We have like recordings, and we ended up with this zine as part of the other outs of the project to gather all these dreams, let's say, and deseidades into a zine that gave us a view of where we should focus from now on for the next years of the Sidentas projects. And the first one of them was language, that we're not understanding each other in terms of different feminisms, that we're using the same words but with different meanings, and therefore we're expecting different things from each other, and we're not even getting there. And that has led to much of the miscommunication that we're having, and that is leading to a fragmentation of the movement as a whole. And so that's why we decided to create a glossary. It's called Glossaria. And we did a project in which we took 9 of the words that we use in Mexico in feminisms most often, no? Mm. So it's feminisms and anti-patriarchal struggles, because it's not the same thing, and there's a lot of indigenous women that do not relate to feminism as such. So we would put into question all these words and what they mean for it, the discourses behind them. Are they relevant nowadays? Are they not? Should we change them? Who's using them? We took the word community, among many others. And with those words, what we did was a set of 3 sub-projects.
Oh, wow.
So,
and this is all coming out of these gatherings that you organized, like in-person gatherings in a lot of ways, sort of sparked these initiatives.
Definitely. No, it's... and we had that in mind since the beginning of the Seidades. Like, we are gathering, we are taking the time to slow down, we are gathering everybody because we had the funding to do that. Okay. It was very rare. We had never had funding before, and so the first thing we did was, okay, we're getting people here, we're paying them a fee, we are paying them their transportation and everything, and we're setting the place that we never have because there is no funding for that. There is no funding for thinking, right?
Sure. Within
the social movements.
Yeah.
And also, if there is any kind of funding, there's always, like, who are we going to listen to? No?
Sure.
It's either scholars or people that are from NGOs. And in this case, we tried to have a broader sense of there could be scholars, there could be people from very different walks of life, socially, economically, different struggles. And so it was a very broad range of deseidades that we got, from basic needs that are actually covered in Mexico City for women, but are not covered in other states or in very specific places, like the Afro-Mexican community, that is still very marginalized in many aspects of services, hospitals specifically. So we tried to bring together as many people as possible that could give also a good experience of what they have been working on. And from there, a huge common point was language. And so Glossaria was also thought to bring more people together, because that's what we like to do. And we called different people that we knew that were involved or that could give a really deep perspective about these specific words. And also to give a... a panoramic view of the movement today, of how we're standing from their perspective. Obviously, it's always going to be subjective, right? And so we brought two people to talk per episode. There's 10 episodes. The first one is an explanation, it's an introduction to a series of podcasts. So Glossaria is a podcast, is a series of postcards, printed postcards, and it's a series of interventions to public space in billboards. And so the podcast side of it was bringing together this two activists or workers within this spheres of these words, and either led by me, Serrucha, or Lorena Wolfer, my colleague, to develop, like, dive into those words, no, to see how they were used in their particular struggles and what they thought. So it was really interesting to see, like, we tried also to either put people that didn't know each other or that had been working for a very long time together, or also in very different age, no, age disparities, to different see generation. Different generations, to see how we're dealing with feminisms today as opposed to several years ago. So it was a beautiful, and it is a beautiful podcast. We also invited a feminist artist to collaborate, and she allowed us to use one of her songs. So that's like the intro. And yeah, so we did that live and we did that in person with most of the people that were involved in the podcast. And from those podcasts, we also had someone that was systematizing everything. And that was Yuruen Lerma, who is a feminist and a scholar that could also give an editorial kind of like edit the podcast, but from a feminist perspective, as opposed to editing it in collaboration with just an editing studio, no? So you really need that perspective. So we try in Dissidenta to have even the designer that we've been collaborating with, designing the images and everything, is specialized in feminisms and has that kind of perspective. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? So so Yuruen did that part. We collaborated with a studio to actually do the recording, the physical thing, and to edit the whole podcast following Yuruen's directions.
Wow.
And to also bring in different perspectives, not only Lorena and mine's, no, and the people that were talking, but also another set of ears that could, like, extract important things for the podcast. And from there, we also took excerpts. So we took some quotes that we thought were very powerful from each one of the participants, from each word, and those are the ones that we decided to put on huge billboards on the street, and are the same ones that we can see in the postcards, along with a set of images that I have been taken from the feminist protests from the past 8 years, more or less. And so, yeah, there's a set of postcards because we really wanted it to be able to get to different places on a small scale. We decided to go with the billboards because they get to millions of people, and because we had the elements to do it, the resources to do it, and we do think that it's very important to take those spaces. They're mostly used, but they're always used for selling, for changing people's minds, for creating. They create your body, they mold, they shape society. And so to use those same spaces is also very important. And then whenever we can, we go to public space and occupy as much of it as we can, because we're very aware of the power that it has. And also in this political context within feminisms, there's a lot of controversy regarding the trans community. And so it was also a political stance to put it out there. No, so we handpicked, obviously, all the quotes, and they are directed, and they are a stance in itself. So, and it's very recognizable when you put something that it's even in a billboard, but that people understand that it is not selling anything. People treat it differently. So we did that, and we did walks around the city to see those billboards with the participants. And
the participants in these collective meetings you had across feminisms between different organizations, also individuals from different experiences.
The participants that were part of the podcast.
Okay.
Which several of them were part of the Seidades, or we met through the Seidades, and we're like, oh, we really need this input. Oh. We would like to invite you again. No? So, yeah.
Cool.
And then, yeah, what we have in front of us is this set of postcards, and it comes in this beautiful tiny box.
That's black and pink.
That's black and very pink indeed. We do a lot of collaborations, as you can see. We collaborated with an editorial... an editorial space, not, how do you say, La Duplicadora, Vanessa.
Yeah, sort of like a printing house, a cooperative designing studio.
Yeah, exactly, like a design cooperative studio called La Duplicadora, and they make fabulous prints and projects. So the prints... And the editorial look of it is also part of Vanessa. And at the same time, she collaborates with Su Ying Wong, who is amazing at creating all the little like boxes for the prints. And Fernanda Sendejas made all the design. And I did these are my images, the images that can be seen on the postcards, and Lorena, we both did the project, and Lorena also did all the text, most of the text, like I would say 99% of the text that we have in Disidenta comes from Lorena. She's fantastic at it, so we divide a lot of the work.
Wow.
And Natalie, which is, or up to now, has been on social media, and she's our community manager, and did a lot of the pictures of documentation of the thing, the interventions we did on the streets. So it's always a really big collective effort to like push forward Disidenta. It's basically bringing together all the resources that we've had throughout the years.
Relationships.
And relationships, absolutely. Yeah. All the relationships. It's all relationships for us, really. And so when you open this box, you can, like on the inside flaps, you can see like what Glossaria is. There's a little explanation. There's some of the questions that we... started with on this podcast. So what is the language of trans feminisms? What kind of words are we using to name ourselves, to recognize each other, to recognize our struggles, ideas, and positions? So, and also what kind of tensions and cohesive or not, like, points do we have, no? Then there's an explanation of the three, we call it salidas, so like outings, I guess, of the project. So the podcast, the postcards, and the interventions, and then credits with the participants. Our beautiful logo made by Fer, who is fantastic in design. And the 10, well, the 9 words are care, cuidados, feminismos y luchas antipatriarcales, so that's feminism and anti-patriarchal struggles, sentires y afectos, so I would say feelings and affection, but in Spanish it means a different thing than in English. Let's say it's more like how you're affected. No, it's not just affection. Social practice, because that's what we're geared towards. There has been a lot of talks about artivism. I have named myself an artivist for a very long time, until now, just because in Dissidenta we took the collective decision of naming what we do as social practice and adhering more to that way to describe what we do, because it's different from just, you know, painting something and going to a protest. Like, that's not what we do. What we do is a huge strategy. It's a dispositif. So that's a way to differentiate. Just because in Mexico it started to, like, artivism and social practice was misleading, let's say, to confuse the two of them. Then there's citizenship, reciprocity, as opposed to sorority, community, justice, and representation and representativity. So, and we have amazing people that came and to our call, strong activists. So I'll just read a couple of the quotes. This is about representation. So, una buena representación agenciada por las mismas personas con discapacidad acabaría con mucha estigmatización y precarización en la que vivimos, ya que se nos niega una participación activa en la sociedad. Nada de nosotras sin nosotras. So, that's Daniela Herrera, Le Petit Riot, and she's saying a good representation taken agency by the people with a disability could end with a lot of the stigmatization and precarity that we live in, because there is because our participation in society has been neglected and nothing about us without us. So there's one let's see, sentires y afectos.
Sorucha's looking through the postcards here.
Social practice. So, la práctica social debe ser transdisciplinaria si busca una transformación social. So, translation is social practice should be transdisciplinary if it looks for a social transformation.
Wow. Well, this is like a little window into your work, and you know, people could spend like a long time getting to know your work, and I encourage them to do that. So we'll share your website, but also just quickly for people who are listening, your website, and thank you so much for this conversation.
Well, thank you. The website for our collective is dissidenta.com.
Okay.
And my personal website is serrucha.com. That's with a C, E-R-R-U-C-H-A.com. And I just want to underline that everything that I've talked about in this conversation is regarding Dissidenta and our collective projects.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Great. Well, it's amazing to hear a bit more about it. And thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you for the space.
Thanks. Respect.
That was another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you to Sorucha in Mexico City for being part of the broadcast. We air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CGLO 1690 a.m. also in Geoghegan, Montreal on Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and I will speak to you soon.